Hello, cancer friends. My name is Kathy Hannis. How's it going? Thanks for listening today. If this is your first time, Hello, Cancer Friends is a place for people to come together. If you've been touched by cancer, or maybe you're looking for a little inspiration, you found the right place. You can share your story. Go to my website, HelloCancerFriends.com. Let me know what you're thinking, how you're doing. Reach out. We also have Hello Cancer Friends support group on Facebook. Let's get the conversation started. Just sometimes it just feels good to let it all out. And so that's why we're here. And obviously, of course, you can listen as well. Sometimes it really helps to hear others who are going through the same thing that maybe you are. Whether you're fighting cancer or perhaps you have a family member, a loved one, going through cancer. Well, things are going good on my end. I had my scan last week. I'm still stable. And yesterday, I just had my 2-year anniversary of the day I got the call. Sitting in the pedicure chair, my doctor finally called me after a really long, agonizing wait for biopsy results. I nearly fell out of the chair when she told me I had pancreatic cancer. How the hell did that happen? But it did. And I'm not supposed to be here, and here I am 2 years later, so it's inspired me to do this podcast. I'm very thankful and very grateful. And my message to you is never give up. You never know what might happen, because miracles do happen. I have no idea what my future holds. You know, I'm not out of the woods. I'm still inoperable. But that's okay. My therapist is helping me. She's helping me to work hard on living in the now, and that's exactly what I'm doing. Living every day to the fullest. Okay, not every day. I do get burnt out sometimes. Kind of had a couch fest over the weekend. That's another story. Anyways. So I've always been wondering about the end. Even before I got diagnosed with cancer, I've always been fascinated with death and dying. Today we're going to talk with a wonderful guest about death and dying. And I understand if you're scared. I'm petrified, but I'm also intrigued. And I'm also somewhat desperate for just any sense of normalcy or what to expect. And I feel so lucky and blessed to have found my guest today. Her name is Julie, and she's a hospice nurse. And today, she is going to share what it's like and some really fascinating things about death and dying. I don't know anybody that lives forever, but I know that under circumstances where you're dealing with cancer, if you're like me at all, you do think about it. Kind of wonder what it's going to be like, or what can we do for a loved one? What to expect? Half of the anxiety comes from the unknown. So I am just absolutely thrilled to have found Julie, and just so happy that she agreed to come on the show and talk to us. So here is my conversation with Julie.
Hey, Kathy.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I am so excited to meet you. I've been watching all of your TikTok videos, and just my mouth is hanging wide open going, she is amazing.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
I'm a little starstruck here because I have been fascinated with death and dying for most of my adult life. And I've always wondered, why is it such taboo to talk about? And fast forward now, I get diagnosed with an incurable form of cancer. Now I'm really starting to think about it.
Yep.
And so to find you, I am so thankful and grateful that you are out there sharing your expertise. So thank you. It's incredible. What started you on this path of becoming a hospice nurse and sharing it with everyone?
So it's definitely a long time coming. I mean, it didn't happen overnight. So it's been, you know, I've been a nurse for 14 years. This whole TikTok, Instagram type of thing happened very quickly and kind of not totally unexpectedly. Like, of course I had like dreams of this happening, but now that it's happening, as far as like people really being interested, it's like wonderful. I'm happily surprised. But the whole idea of me loving hospice and what I do was a long time coming. You know, I was fresh out of nursing school. I had this image of what I was going to do, which was ICU and then go back to school and go into anesthesia and work at this number one hospital. And I did do that. I did get an ICU job at the number one hospital in the country right out of school. Not like as a brag, but as like, I think a lot of nursing students are like that. We're like all intense and want to just know it all. And I was really excited. And then, I mean, it took probably 2 years, but 2 years into it, I was like devastated by how much I didn't like it and how I basically hated work and I hated being a nurse. And I thought, this can't be what I was trying to do. Like, I didn't want to go back to school because why would I go back to school for something I don't like? Mm-hmm. It was just really devastating. And it was like, I didn't like this idea that we had to hurry up and care. Like in the ICU, well, I think all medical professions in general, you're supposed to like care because we all care a lot because we wouldn't be there if we didn't otherwise for the most part. But like, hurry up because you got to do a bunch of shit. I don't know if we can swear on the podcast. I swear.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah. Let it out.
So it was really devastating for me that like I couldn't care like I wanted to. You just don't have the time. You really don't. Like, I didn't get to know the family. I mean, for the most part, you don't get to know the families that well. You don't get to know the patient that well. You're like running your butt off. You're trying to keep them alive. So like, you care enough to do that. But that's all you can really care about. So it was just devastating. And I felt like we were really missing a link between like having true, honest conversations with people. And we would amongst ourselves, like amongst healthcare workers, about what was really happening. But then like, we wouldn't talk like that to the families or to the patient. Patient's usually sedated and intubated, but still. So I just felt like there was like, we were missing something. And that's what made me passionate about how do we start having conversations and family meetings with these people who need it. And there were a couple of doctors that were really good at that. And I sort of clung to them when they were doing their rounds so I could listen to how they would speak and like how they would say things. And that's kind of what got me activated into, I think I want to do hospice. And then cut to, you know, years later, I was an ICU nurse for years. I traveled nursing. I did all types of nursing. And then I finally started hospice nursing about 5 years ago. And then that's just started my journey into learning about death and dying. And I had a wonderful doctor that I followed around. When I say followed around, I still like did my job. I still was working, but like she would do what we call face-to-faces, where she would go to the home. And me being the nurse of that patient, I would go with her and I would listen to her talk to these families. And she was so amazing at it. And a lot of the things you hear me talk about on my videos, I'm like literally regurgitating from her mouth.
Oh, wow.
I like learned so much from her. I think I'm an audio learner because I like would take what she would say. And then I've just been like repeating it over the years because I, as a nurse, was flabbergasted. As an ICU nurse, most nurses and doctors in the hospital, I don't think, not by their fault, but just because they're not working with this day in and day out, don't know a lot about death and dying. So yeah, it was just that's, and here I am. And then 6 months ago, I thought I want to tell people about this because my friends and family who I'd help through death and dying situations with their loved ones would tell me, man, I didn't know any of the stuff you were telling me. You should start a podcast. You should do this. You should do that. I didn't want to do those. Podcasts are a lot of work, P.S., as you probably know, Kathy. I just don't have the time or the patience to edit stuff. And I have no interest in doing that. It'd be too hard. So my nieces were doing TikTok. And at first I was making fun of it, of course, as like older generations do. Mm-hmm. And then I started being like, this is actually pretty sweet. why don't I try to make videos on here? And I did. And like the fourth one in took off. And I've just been doing it since.
I think that's so, cool. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, because death and dying, it's a scary thing to think about. Unless you have Julie to listen to, because you really put a different spin on it. And I think it's so refreshing. You're just so honest and real about it. When I first started watching you, which was very recently, I happened to find you. And I could not stop watching, because I've been, you know, obviously interested in the whole subject, but finally somebody is talking about this and normalizing it and letting people know that, yeah, it's going to happen. And this is what it all means. So thank you. And my show here, it's Hello Cancer Friends, obviously looking at talking to and reaching out to both family and patients, anyone touched by cancer. Mm-hmm. And so although it's a really raw and tough discussion to have, I thank you for being here. And I was hoping, like, maybe you could share some of your stories and expertise to maybe make somebody feel comfortable, because at some point, well, me especially with a pretty grim diagnosis, I'm going to have to face this sooner or later. And just think of, I mean, you're really helping me. I have goosebumps right now.
Oh, so wow.
Thank you. I mean, like, you're making it better. I'm going to be thinking about you when it comes my time.
Girl, Kathy, my God, these are like, I mean, normally I get it in messages, right? Like typing messages. So to speak to someone like one-on-one and see your face, and this is truly why I'm doing it. Like, I am kind of surprised. Like I feel like I've gotten feedback from like friends. Like, I had really close friends losing their parents. So I'd be talking mm-hmm. to them, and they're the ones that were like, you really need to get, like, say these things on a video and like put them out there. So I have gotten the feedback of like, people need to hear this, but then to have hundreds of thousands of people hear it, right? Mm-hmm. And then have really positive reactions is like, wow, people really, and it's not me, right? Like, it truly isn't. It truly is like hospice workers, the like death and dying. This is all I'm doing is sharing the general knowledge of it, right? It's just so wonderful for me to hear that people are taking it like I'd hope they take it, right? Like, are listening to what I'm saying, and like understanding, you know?
Yes.
I think too, like what you said, like how to make people feel better, or like what to say, or, you know, like how to talk. I think people always want to know like what to do. Like, mm-hmm. my loved one is this, what do I do? My best friend is this, how do I help? And I think it's hard, because it's like not black and white. It's not black and white. There's definitely like gray, and everyone is different. But what I find is, and I have to deal with that too on a daily basis when talking to families, is like having no expectations and not feeling like you have to make someone feel better. Mm-hmm. I mean, not physically, I mean, emotionally, like, cause it's hard to talk about, right? So like being the one person that seems comfortable, whether you are or not, I think all it does is take you just being there in the moment and not really trying to fix anything, just sort of being there, able to sit in the uncomfortability with this person who's also mm-hmm. uncomfortable, not physically, because nursing, I would try to make them comfortable, but like just the idea of, you know, I'm scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's scary. Like, the unknown is scary. Death is the unknown. So I feel like the biggest thing I witness in talking to families and loved ones is relief that mm-hmm. like there's someone around. And I'm not trying to be like the savior queen. I just mean like anyone in healthcare, it can be anybody who is willing to sit there and not say, don't be scared. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, to just reassure, I'm like, yeah, it's scary. You're so normal to be scared. You're so normal to feel scared. Anyone would feel scared. And even that one little switch of like, you're normal, it's okay to be scared, I feel like makes them less scared.
Yes.
They're kind of like, oh yeah, okay. I don't have to resist this. And also, just a comforting note, I think people do kind of want to know. And on hospice, we can kind of tell you, like, mm-hmm. how long do you think I have? I feel like, yes, you never know. That is true. People have surprised me. But in general, mm-hmm. and you're one of them, Kathy, right? Like, mm-hmm. you're a person that is, like, not doing the normal thing with the disease you have, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. But in general, it's like, someone comes on hospice with a specific disease. I feel like I can, and most hospice workers can tell you, here's what to expect. Sure. Here's how long you probably have. This is what you're going to look like. This is how it's going to manifest. And that's also relieving, because that is a little more black and white and not so gray. It's not this vague, we'll see what happens, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And every step of the way, we can really try to help. And for the most part, we can. For the most part, we can. Every once in a while, it's not as easy as that, right? But so I think that can be comforting too. Just knowing that there are people out there who are willing to discuss the hard topics and give you concrete answers for the most part.
You're amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Kathy's my hype girl. I'm going to take her with me.
Oh my gosh. Well, and you have nearly 500,000 followers on TikTok. That's crazy. So people want to know. Yeah. And it's a lot easier on social media, you know, just to click on you. So I just honestly, I cannot say enough about what you're doing and also what you're doing as a nurse, you know. Yeah. You're amazing. So I wanted to talk to you a couple of things. Your videos are just so interesting, and you have your fascinating facts.
Yes.
Toss out a few of your favorites that people may not know.
Oh my gosh, there's so many.
I know.
There's so many amazing, fascinating facts. Okay, so I'll do the ones I'll try to. Okay, fascinating facts. And these are facts. These are not just like me being woo woo. Because I think a lot of people think I'm trying to make people feel better and like saying my opinion. Right. I'm like, no, this is just what happens.
Right.
So fascinating facts that I even learned as a hospice nurse. I didn't know these were real mm-hmm. until I was a nurse. And then I witnessed it a million times. And it's in our literature. So just FYI. Everything I'm saying is in literature. So you can check me. I'm not just saying stuff. fascinating fact number one that I love, and it happens to most people, is people usually about a month or so out. Every once in a while, it's like right before death. It depends, but it can happen in like a month or so out before death. If you're on hospice, PS, not just random people on the street. At least I don't think so. That's not my experience.
Anyway, yeah.
They start seeing dead relatives or dead pets, like anyone close to them, friends, neighbors, who anyone close that they like usually is not usually bad. Mm-hmm. Some people are like, are they seeing my, I don't want to see my ex-husband. Like, no, they're not. It's usually someone good, a mom, a dad, a brother, sister, someone who's already died. And they are visiting them and saying comforting things, whether it's, I'm taking you home soon, don't worry, we'll help you. Or just visiting and being fun together. Mm-hmm. And they're really seeing them. We don't see them, but they really are. And they're usually pretty lucid. Like they're not usually like super delusional and saying other weird things. They're like mm-hmm. very concrete on what they're witnessing. So they see that, or they see angels or spirits. Some people who if they do have a religion, they will see whatever religious deity they love or, you mm-hmm. know, respect. So like Jesus or like archangels, things like that.
Sure.
Wow. I know. It's amazing. And it happens to like, not, it's not like a strange thing. It's like a almost always thing. And sometimes you don't know it because they won't tell you because they think it's weird. Right. So I've been, sometimes they'll like whisper it to me, or they'll be like, dad just told me that last night our mom came to visit them, and you know, because they don't, they're afraid to say it because it sounds crazy. And then I'm like, look up page 4 of the book I gave you. I don't know.
Wow.
The other fascinating thing that can happen is the rally. These are the two that everyone loves, the rally or the surge, I call it. I call it the surge, but a lot of people call it the rally. That this happens to about a third of our patients, where they're getting close to the end of life, looking like they're going to die soon. And then they'll suddenly have a really good day. It can be extreme. It can be like they're up, walking, talking, being funny, you know, really extreme, mm-hmm. like having a really good day. Or it can just be slight, you know, they're eating a little more, they're laughing a little more, maybe a little more grouchier, like kind of like their old selves. Like my grandma was, we knew she was like having a good day because she was kind of like grouchy to us. You know, like the food wasn't hot enough. Like normally when before right. she was barely speaking. So it can be sad because they usually die quickly after that. So if it's a true rally, it's like they're almost dead. They feel really good and then they die shortly after. It's not usually this long drawn out thing. That's not really the rally. The rally is like quick. And I like to educate about it because I want people to like it versus feeling devastated by it. Cause it's kind of like, it's your last moment to really be with your loved one and like experience them as they were. So that's another thing. I also, this is the last thing, cause I know I'm getting long winded, but I think it's fascinating that our bodies truly are built to die. So I always explain this to people, like we are built as humans, however this happened, I don't know, but we're built to like survive birth canal, you know, the woman's body takes care of itself too during birth for the most part again. And it's the same with death. Like if someone's dying a natural death, which is what I consider like someone on hospice, even though they're dying from something, I would consider it still natural because we're not doing any interventions. Mm-hmm. People's bodies will start preparing, like just like cocooning. They start sleeping a lot. Like the reason they're sleeping a lot more and the reason they're eating less is because their body is preparing for the end of life. And the what we would say in the medical field, this is the part that I felt like was in the ICU, we were not doing a good job about. Like the drier you are, which actually means the more dehydrated, which sounds awful, but it's true. The drier you are during like the actively dying phase. So not me and you who are up and walking, talking, we don't want to be dehydrated, but someone during the end of life phase, the drier they are, meaning the more dehydrated they are, the better they will feel. Mm-hmm. And the more the body will basically prepare for this end of life and usually make it more peaceful. So that's why I always say, like, never force feed anybody. You can always offer all the things. If they want it, great. If they don't, let it be. If they want to sleep all day, let them be. As long as they're not mm-hmm. like wet and sitting in soaked clothes or something crazy. But if they're sure. clean, safe, comfortable, let their body be the guide because our bodies are intuitive. And that's not woo-woo. That's like science. Our bodies, we don't understand everything about the body. And mm-hmm. especially around death. It's mm-hmm. not like we're not, that's not super studied. I mean, it is, but not a lot. So I've witnessed this time and time again, and I've heard doctors say it over and over again, you know, so to me, that's incredible. Now, don't get me wrong, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people who hear this who have experienced horrific deaths with their loved ones. Mm-hmm. I don't want to invalidate that because certain diseases do make for less peaceful deaths. That's for sure. But in general, the body will take care of itself in death. It can.
Right. And there's a lot of medications and pain medications and things like that too, I would imagine.
So many ways we can help. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was watching one of your clips and it was about, it reminded me of my dad waiting to die. You were talking about mentioning how people can, sometimes they want to die alone, or my dad waited until the priest came there, gave the blessing, and within 30 seconds took his last breath.
Wow.
It was something.
That is something. See, I mean, there is something to personality. I think people like, because there's something probably his personality or whatever believed that that's what he wanted to do. So that's what he did.
Yeah, right? Like, for sure.
People can wait for people. People can wait until one person comes and says the one thing they need to hear, right? People want to die alone sometimes. They'll wait till everyone leaves. I have witnessed people, now this hasn't happened that much, but I have seen it. People will like basically declare when they're going to die and then they do.
Wow.
It's crazy. And they don't look like they're going to die either. It's not like they're showing signs of like death is imminent, but they'll be like, you know what? I'm tired. I'm going home tonight. And everyone's like, going home. You're already home. What are you talking about? And they're like, no, I'm tired. I've had enough. Take care of my son. Take care of this. Take care of this. And everyone's like, what? And they die that night.
Isn't that something? I know. You just never know.
Never know.
So can you share with everyone, where can they find you if they want to hear more?
Well, I am at Hospice Nurse Julie. So pretty easy, at Hospice Nurse Julie on TikTok and on Instagram. And technically on Facebook too. I mean, the Facebook is just basically my Instagram, because I know I don't do a lot of interaction on Facebook, but my videos are on Facebook and it's all the same name, at Hospice Nurse Julie.
That's great. Well, I'm not done asking you questions. If you have a few more minutes,
let's do this.
Well, the other video I found really interesting was when you were talking about the paranormal. And the gentleman who you were helping, do you mind sharing that story?
No, I love it. It's my favorite. I feel like I have many experiences that feel like, maybe not paranormal, but like sacred, right? Like I have so many experiences being with someone dying and their family and like the love in the room. So like there's been several experiences where you just feel kind of warm and fuzzy, as even though it's a sad moment, right? This one was beyond that. This one, wow. I don't understand at all, but I know that it was incredible in the moment and it happened, right? Like it's kind of hard to explain it, or when I explain it now, it feels almost surreal, but I, mm-hmm. in the moment it was very like, what's happening, you know? So this gentleman who became very close with, I definitely would consider my favorite patient, as awful as that sounds, mm-hmm. someone who we were really close with, the whole team. He didn't have much family. We really helped this guy in his life while he was living, and he lived much longer than he actually had. He actually had pancreatic cancer, PS, Kathy, and he lived much longer than we thought he would. And so we became very close with him, right? So at the end of his life, it was this kind of this long goodbye. We had a continuous care nurse there with him, which by the way, doesn't normally happen. So just FYI. But there was a nurse by his bed 24 hours a day. It wasn't me. It was different nurses. And I was like the case managing, overseeing nurse. So I had to go see him every day while they were there, while he was in the actively dying phase. So unconscious. And I could see when I saw him, he was going to die any day now, or probably in the next few hours, I could tell. Just by how he looked. He wasn't awake or anything. And I said my goodbyes in my head to him there at bedside. And then I told the nurse, like, let me know when he dies. I went to my car and I was kind of thinking about him. And I remember thinking like, I just hope he looked really peaceful, but I just wanted him to have this really peaceful transition. I was happy that he looked comfortable, happy for all the things we could do for him. And then all of a sudden I heard his voice in my head in my car. And not only did I hear his voice, it was like heard his voice and a feeling. Like the feeling was this overwhelming feeling of like, the only way I could describe it is like exuberance, mm-hmm. like just beyond relief, beyond freedom, exuberance, almost like flying. And I could kind of see his face, but like it was more of a feeling, if that makes sense. And I could hear him saying, oh my gosh, Julie, he actually was saying my name. Oh my gosh, Julie, I can't believe it's so good. I can't believe it's as good as this. I could have never known it would be like this. If I would have known, I would have left a long time ago. Mm. He didn't say those words. That was the feeling. It was like, I didn't know it was going to be this good. I didn't know it was going to be this good. And it was like over and over again, those something like that, like words like, I can't believe how good this is. And the feeling of overall freedom and exuberance, and like, it was like instant tears, instant happy, overwhelming tears from me, because I could feel what he was feeling, it felt like. And it was nothing I've ever experienced. And it happened, you know, probably over a course of 20 seconds, maybe. I don't even know now, but but it was just this overwhelming feeling of like joyous freedom, amazing. And he was basically telling me how amazing everything was. And it didn't like suddenly stop. I felt like it was like this gradual feeling. And I was just sobbing uncontrollably in my car, tears of joy, because it felt so good. And then I got a phone call and my nurse inside was like, so-and-so just died. And I was thinking, I know, because I feel like he just told me what was happening.
Oh my gosh.
And I knew he was dead and I knew he had crossed over to whatever that is, right? Like,
right.
Heaven, I could say, I don't know. I mean, I don't care about the words. All I know is wherever he went, it was good. And still gives me chills to this day. It's still such an honor. I still feel him close whenever I tell that story. I just feel, it was like, I didn't tell anybody that happened until now. And now I have a bunch of people listening. You know, it's just like, yeah. Kinda, I didn't expect like, but I'm happy to share the story.
I think it's awesome. It's amazing. And if I wasn't dying, I'd want to be a hospice nurse.
Yeah,
that was a little weird terrible. To say.
No, I like dark humor. It's okay.
No, seriously, you're very, very inspiring. And I know that you've got so many things to do. And I could talk to you for days on end, solid without a break. But I know I have to share you with the rest of the world. And so I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. It was an absolute thrill to meet you. And thank you. And keep doing what you're doing, please. It means, if it means as much to just one other person like it does to me, you are changing the world, in my opinion. Wow. And the way people look, because when you are told you have months to live, I'm beating the odds, but a lot of people don't. But when you're being told that, you need some hope, you need just some relief to the unknown, and to hear your stories, it just fills my heart and I'm like exploding. So thank you,
Kathy. You're welcome. And thank you for I feel like having the courage to listen, because it's really easy to stick your head in the sand and go and just tell yourself this isn't happening, you know.
Yeah, so, it is.
Thank you for not doing that, because that will make all the difference and change the world.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Julie. I am blown away. I am so proud of you. You are helping so many people, myself included. You know, I have to let the listeners know how successful you are. I'm not the only one. You're just flipping out. I'm like flipping out good. Like, Julie, the last time I checked, you have 480,000 followers on TikTok. That is huge. It's like 500,000 people want to hear what you're saying. And it just started. So I know it's going to grow and grow. And I wish you all the very best. I think you found what you were born to do, because you are so incredibly good at it. And I thank you for making me feel pretty good about death and dying. And maybe not so afraid. It's okay. It's okay to talk about it. You are awesome. Well, that wraps up another episode of Hello Cancer Friends. Can't believe it. I was a little nervous, I'll admit. I was a little nervous to go there with death and dying. But I hope you understand. I just really felt that if it could make somebody feel good or more comfortable about talking about it, I thought it'd be awesome to have Julie talk to us about it. And if you'd like to see more, go to Hospice Nurse Julie on TikTok, Instagram, even Facebook. Go check it out. Oodles of beautiful videos. So my story about the Couch Fest, thankfully, I got through most of the interview, but I got cut off at the end. I cut poor Julie off because my computer crashed. I got the blue screen of death. If you're into computers, you know what that is, and it's not cool. I had a couch fest yesterday, trying everything under the sun to fix my laptop computer from the blue screen of death. Isn't that funny? It crashed. The error message is the blue screen of death. Well, I'm talking to Hospice Nurse Julie about death and dying. Yeah, I know. That's pretty cool. Well, I hope you have a really awesome week. And I am so looking forward to talking to you next week. Take good care. Bye-bye.